You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris, Dave Kellner and Derek McGovern here with you this week to preview another round of Premier League fixtures. First things first, Dave, Derek, how are we?
Yes, gloating in yet another winning nap for me last week. Good thing of all good things that was last week. Even money, Newcastle, weighed in.
As I said to you, Derek, you've benefited from poor penalties the last couple of weeks, Derek. That can't continue any longer.
Hark, I hear the sound of a bitter man.
mine that was. It looked like it was a shoo-in after 11 minutes. Two goals in the first 11 minutes in that game between Bournemouth and Everton. Waited a while for a third one, and then I thought, yeah, we got this well sussed here. And the fourth goal, not forthcoming. If only I had Derek McGovern's luck, I'd be fine, and I'd be powering up that naps table.
Yeah, mate, your own luck in this game, lad.
You've routed us, Derek, this season.
I have, haven't I? I lapped you by Christmas, and I think I'm on the second lap now.
it's the biggest surprise, not Leicester City winning the Premier League, but your performance on this naps table this season, Derek.
It'll be an open top bus going down our road on May 15th, whenever it is.
As you said there, DK, since we last spoke, Leicester have wrapped it up and confirmed it. Until it actually happened, I still somewhere in the back of my mind thought, oh, but they can't do this though, can they? Even when they went 1-20, I thought,
I didn't want them to win it. I didn't want them to win it. I wanted Spurs to win it in the end, because this Leicester is...
Because you like ruining fairy tales.
I like ruining fairy tales, and it makes the Premier League look abject, second rate as far as I'm concerned. Leicester City winning the Premier League, Derek.
It is a bit. It's like Livorno winning the Italian League, isn't it? Something like that. They're saying it's the greatest football story ever, but it's not even the greatest Leicester football story ever. Not after that yarn.
Well, that's what turned it all around for Leicester City. Isn't it? That's what the papers are saying. If that had never happened, Leicester City would not be Premier League champions.
Exactly. And when you see figures like, 5,000 to 1, the one thing that springs to mind, God, that...
let's crack on to the football this weekend. Then we begin with the early kickoff on Saturday. This is Norwich versus Manchester United. A rare game this weekend where both sides have got something to play for. Norwich in the betting here at 7-2, 21-10 the draw, and Manchester United are 10-11. Nathan Redmond to score in a Norwich win is 10-1, and Wayne Rooney to score in a Manchester United win is 11-4. As I said, they're both sides needing the points. Norwich obviously still battling for survival. And the top four has become possibly realistic for Manchester United. They're 4 points back with a game in hand. Inferior goal difference, mind. But this should be quite a well-contested game, Derek.
Yeah, it's a bit short, United, isn't it? How many games? 6 games away from home. That's all they've won this season. And we're expecting them to back them at odds on against a team that's fighting for their lives. I don't think United are a team you can trust, to be honest, at those kind of prices. I mean, I wouldn't trust them at any prices, but I'd be prepared to back them at decent prices, not at 10 to 11 away from home. I mean, if they were going to someone like, actually, let's just say Bournemouth, who had nothing to play for, I might give them a squeeze, even though Bournemouth are obviously a better side than Norwich. But, you look at Norwich's front, 5 home wins they've made this season. That's as many as Everton. It's as many as Chelsea. They're no mugs at Carrow Road. I think they've held West Ham there recently. I think they held Man City there recently too. They're not the mugs these odds imply. Fellaini's out for Man United, which is bad news for Norwich. I'm going to go for a Norwich win here at 7-2. Norwich are capable. They're not. Villa are comfortably the worst team in the Premier League. We know that probably ever. Norwich is second from bottom, but on occasions they played a lot better than a second from bottom team. I mean, some matches I've liked what I've seen from Norwich, and I think 7-2 is taking a big chance here. The bookies. I'm going to go for the Canaries here.
Okay, 7-2 then for a Norwich win for Derek. Dave, have you got similar thoughts?
Well, just to pick up on a few things Derek mentioned there, Marrow and Fellaini, even though you said it tongue-in-cheek, Derek, he's actually started Manchester United's big games the second half of the season. And Louis van Gaal, maybe it's misplaced faith, but he's put a lot of faith in Fellaini as maybe the mixer in midfield, because they've got a lot of small players in there, small intricate players, the likes of Ander Herrera and Juan Mata. And if they need someone to just be a bit more physical, Mauro and Fellaini comes into the mix. So his absence might make a difference for Manchester United. Scoring goals has been the problem for Norwich, though. You look at their top scorers in the Premier League this season. Adia Mercy, Mbakani and Nathan Redmond just got 5 apiece. And no side has a lower top-scoring player so far this season. And they've been poor in 2016, Alex Neil's side as well. You look at the amount of games they've lost. They've lost 11 in this calendar year. Only Aston Villa have lost more Premier League games. And they haven't scored in 3 either, Norwich. And I think at this stage of the season, it comes down to experience. And they've got Alex Neil at the helm, whereas Newcastle have got Rafa Benitez and Sunderland have got Sam Allardyce. I think they understand how to set their teams up to grind out victories in games like this. I'm not sure Alex Neil does understand that. And I think they'll be exposed defensively as well. Anthony Martial, I think, still has been terrific. I know that Derek thinks he's overrated, but I think he's a top-quality player. He's in the betting at 19-10 to score any time here, which I think is a worthwhile price. He's got 15 goals in all competitions this season, which is more than any other Manchester United player. I just don't see Norwich scoring in this game. I think Manchester United will edge it to nil. Just to play devil's advocate and back up something that Derek said, Manchester United have struggled at Carrow Road in recent seasons. They've lost the last 2 visits, so it is a difficult place for them to go. But Manchester United to win this game to nil, 2-1, when you compare that with 10-11 for them to win this game, I don't think it will be a rout. Manchester United don't play that style of expansive football. And in that second half against Leicester last weekend, I thought they were really poor. They went back to that ponderous style of play where they just keep possession without being incisive. And that's something that's plagued Manchester United throughout the course of the season. I'll go Manchester United to win this game to nil, though. That's in the betting at 2-1. I think it's a good price.
Okay, Manchester United to win to nil, then 2-1 at the choice of DK. We move on to the tea time fixture now on Saturday, which is Leicester versus Everton. 10-11 here for the Premier League champions. 11-5 the draw, and it's 100-30 about Everton. The enhanced odds offers here. Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win. Is he back for this game?
He is back. This game.
That's 2-1. Romelu Lukaku to score in an Everton win is priced up at 6-1. Dare I roll out that old cliche, Derek, but there should be a carnival atmosphere at the at the King Power for this game.
Yeah, but they've been on the pop, haven't they, all week? Yeah. We've read about it, is Leicester players being on the pop. Unfortunately, Everton have just been playing like they've been on the pop all season. you can't go for Leicester. I know that generally the team visiting, the visiting team in circumstances like this, the duty bound to roll over and have their tummies tickled. I'm not sure you're going to get that from Everton. I'm not sure Roberto Martinez can allow that to happen, given the stick he's getting from the Everton fans. I mean, it is a party atmosphere. They've got that Italian tenor, Andrea Bocelli, haven't they, singing just before they crown Leicester as title winners. Some Leicester supporters have asked what a tenor is. Everton supporters have asked what a title is. Bocelli's blind, isn't he? And some fans have called him brave to overcome that handicap. Everton fans have called him lucky. That's the season they've had. I'm going to go for Everton here. I just can't see how Leicester... I mean, the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable. But when you've played every match like your lives depend on it, since pretty much August, they've run and run and run, and now they've won the league. It's unbelievable. The fairy tale is completed. If you were them, if you were those players, you'd be having a field day on Saturday, wouldn't you? You'd just take your foot off the gas. You know, I can't imagine them trying at all. Honestly, I can't. It's just human nature. And at these kind of odds, Everton, who are a tidy side on their day, despite the disappointments of this season, I think they're overpriced here. I've got to go for Everton here.
Okay, 130 in the betting are Everton. Derek raises a good point there, Dave, that Roberto Martinez desperately needs wins and good performances because his head is very much on the chopping block at the moment.
I think he's a goner, though. I think he won't survive because... Everton have made changes from a board perspective with a new majority stakeholder coming in. He'll want his own guy at the helm. And Martinez hasn't done enough this season to suggest that even if the new stakeholder comes in and thinks, well, give this guy a chance, they've not performed well enough for that to happen, in my opinion. For Everton to be 11th in the league with that squad is dismal. We say it week in, week out. I actually disagree with Derek here, and it's funny, isn't it? Punter's mentality, Derek, as soon as it looked, those last few minutes of that Spurs-Chelsea game at Stamford Bridge on Monday night, P- punters aren't basking in that reflective glow of Leicester City winning the title. They're thinking, how can we make more money out of this, punters? And Everton were hammered, weren't they, Monday night? They were 5-1 Monday night. This game was priced up, and they're now 100-30. They could suffer with the hangover, both literal and from a mental perspective as well. But I don't think they will, Leicester City, because this is their final home game, and I'm sure they'll have that necessary drive for one more week to put on a performance in front of their home fans. Jamie Vardy is back, which I think is big, because he wasn't obviously involved last week. For him to score and Leicester to win, I think it's a good price at 2-1. The enhanced odds. And you look at their record at the King Power Stadium, they've got that to protect as well. They're unbeaten in their last 14 Premier League games at the King Power. They've won 9 and drawn 5 of those. And since that last Premier League home defeat against Arsenal, they've conceded just 7 goals in 14 games at the King Power. They've kept 9 clean sheets in that run as well. Everton, even though they've lost just 3 of their last 18 Premier League away games, they haven't been in that sort of form recently. And in their last 4 away from home, they've drawn 2 and lost 2. I think Leicester are good things here. I think they'll win to nil as well. Leicester to win to nil in the betting at 5-2, which is a market that I like. And Everton played that experimental lineup against Bournemouth last weekend with Matthew Pennington, who was recalled from Walsall, who'd been out there on loan. He got a starting berth in the centre of that defence, and Mohamed Besic played right back. I think if he plays that same sort of lineup back four, I think they'll be exploited by Leicester City. Leicester win this game, in my opinion. I think they're a good price as well. I think the bookmakers and the punters have overreacted to the stories about Leicester players going out and getting sloshed midweek, and they're not going to be right for this game. I think they'll win, even without Robert Huth as a starting centre-half. He's been suspended for that Marouane Fellaini incident. Yeah. I think they'll win this game, Leicester City, and win it comprehensively.
Okay, Leicester win for DK then, which is 10-11. And Jamie Vardy, as you mentioned, they've scored in a Leicester win, is priced up at 2-1. We move on to Sunday's televised fixtures now. We start with the 1:30 game, which is Spurs versus Southampton. 10-11 are Spurs, 12-5 the draw, and Southampton are 3-1. The enhanced odds offers here are Harry Kane to score in a Tottenham win at 2-1, and Sadio Mane to score in a Southampton win at 8-1. Southampton have had back-to-back 4-2 victories coming into this, and I suppose there's two ways to look at this Tottenham side. They're either very flat after the title was snatched away, but they still have the carrot of tying up second place, and more importantly for them, finishing above Arsenal, who are only 3 points behind. So have Spurs still got something to play for, Derek, or are they just going to be flat as a pancake for this one?
Well, they will be flat. I mean, they're kicking themselves for not taking Leicester to the wire, aren't they? It makes a nice change from kicking Chelsea, who's what they spent most of Monday doing. They will be flat. The disappointment will be massive. But they've still got a lot to do, haven't they? I mean, you know, I read the interviews with the players on earlier in the week. You know, the 3 points ahead of Arsenal now with 2 games to go. It'll be the first time they'll finish above Arsenal if they do so, in, you know, in a lifetime virtually. I don't think they're going to let that slip. They can't afford to let that slip. They've been tremendous all season. Bit disappointing in the second half the other night, but they have had a great season. And I think they're fairly priced here to beat Southampton. I know Southampton have been in decent form recently, and they look a tidy side away from home, Southampton, the players they've got on the break. Ordinarily, a 3-1, you know, they're the kind of price I'd be looking at for the Saints here. But I just think Tottenham have still got an awful lot to play for, whereas the Saints haven't, in my eyes. And I'm going to go for Tottenham here. I still think it's a tidy. I still think just around the even money mark. I think if you can get over the disappointments of Monday, I think that's a very fair price.
Okay, is this a 10-11 that interests you, DK, like Leicester?
I'm not sure about the result in this game. I'd take the result out of it because I can see all three eventualities here. That was incredible on Monday night, though. They were kicking lumps out of Chelsea late on. 9 bookings for Spurs in that match, which was a Premier League record. And how Eric Dier managed to survive was beyond me. He was charging around like Roy Keane in the closing stages of the match. He was unbelievable. And I think they'll be without... You'd presume they'll be without Moussa Dembele. I don't know if that the FA have responded yet with a ban for Dembele, but he could get 7 or 8 matches, couldn't he, for that eye-gouging incident with Diego Costa. Maybe the fact it was on Diego Costa means they might show a bit of leniency, the FA, because everyone's wanted to do that, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't see him playing again this season, and neither can Costa. No, he hasn't been banned yet, but you know, he obviously will be. But they haven't acted yet. They've charged him, but not no sentence yet. So he might be fit to play. He might be free to play in this game.
There was a great bit in that match where Diego Costa was complaining to the referee and was holding the wrong guy.
Yeah, but it was in his hand though.
Yeah, it was some match. It's some finish to that match, and I suppose it's different from a Spurs side. I think it's encouraging, even though they got 9 bookings in that match. You always equate Spurs with that, you know, that pussyfooting football where they don't get stuck in, and they were like a band of brothers coming together late on in that game. I'm just not sure, because Southampton have finished the season so strongly. Mentioned on last week's podcast, the only side to have beaten them in the last 2 months is Leicester City, and they're obviously Premier League champions. So he's done brilliantly there, Ronald Koeman, and they're looking for their highest ever points tally in the Premier League. They've got 57 currently. Last season, they set that highest points total with 60 under Koeman. He'll be looking to go past that this year. And I think they've got a chance of winning this game. Sadio Mane, as Derek mentioned, he's been in great form. And that Sadio Mane to score and Southampton to win, the enhanced odds offer at 8-1 looks nice. The cynical among us, Derek, would think that he only starts playing when the transfer window's about to open, Sadio Mane. And there were rumours last August that he might be making the move to Manchester United. I just wonder whether those rumours will resurface again, given his good form in the past month. But he's a fair price to score here. 5-2, Sadio Mane to score. And that's where I'll be sticking my cash in this match. Went 19 Premier League appearances without scoring, but got his hat-trick against City last weekend, and in his last 6 Premier League games for Southampton, he scored 7 goals. I think that's fair. Sadio Mane to score here at 5-2. Not sure about the result. I think Spurs will definitely be deflated. They'll be without Dele Alli again, without Moussa Dembele, which sort of softens their core. So I'll go with Sadio Mane to score at 5-2 and take the result out of this one.
Okay, Mane to score any time then. The pick 4DK in that one. The 4 o'clock game on Sunday that is on TV is Manchester City versus Arsenal. City here are 6-4 in the betting. 21-10 is the draw, and Arsenal 19-10. Sergio Aguero to score in a Manchester City win is 9-4. And Danny Welbeck to score in an Arsenal win is priced up at 5-1. City were a little bit dull and uninspiring midweek against Real Madrid, but this might be an easier test for them against Arsenal. But again, Derek, both sides looking to tie up a top four spot. Arsenal will be keen to chase down Spurs. And of course, you get the extra carrot of if you do finish third, you don't have to play a qualifying round next year.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the qualifying round begins about the day after the season ends, isn't it? It's ridiculous. No one wants to be involved in that. So, you know, there are plenty to play for here. But it won't surprise you to learn I haven't a clue who will win this one. I mean, yeah, that's not. You look at the prices. There's no, it's spot on. They're exactly the price of exactly as you would price this one up. City were absolutely appalling against Real Madrid. I mean, I can't believe some of the comments from the manager and some of the players saying he didn't deserve to lose. Well, I've never seen a team that least deserved to win a game. They never. And a European Cup semi-final, and they didn't seem to try a leg. It was a shocking performance, and I thought they were an embarrassment, actually. I know when you look on the scoreline, you think, oh, my God, they only lost 1-0 to Real Madrid over 2 legs. But they were shocking. They were absolutely shocking. And you know, they've had a few bad performances in the league as well. If there's going to be a winner, I suggest it might be Arsenal, even though I think they're vastly overrated. Arsene Wenger has his critics, but he's, you know, we all know he saved Arsenal a lot of money on signings, on European travel, and chiefly on cabinets. Haven't needed many of those recently. You know, did you see that survey this week? 33% of British people said football was still their favourite sport. That survey was conducted at the Emirates. I can't. Neither of these two sides are finishing. Really, to be honest, both of these sides have had a very disappointing campaign, and they're finishing them disappointingly as well. In a funny way, a draw wouldn't do either side, you know, too much harm. That's the way I'm going. I think it'll be a tight game. I might even go for a 0-0 here, because I just feel it's going to be a tight game with neither side wanting to lose, and both sides thinking a draw would be okay.
0-0 draw is in the betting at 12-1 then, and just the draw outright is 21-10. this does look difficult, DK, to weigh up in terms of an outright bet.
Yeah, draw's no good for Manchester City, though. They need to win this game. I think Arsenal would bite your hand off for a point here. But if Manchester City draw this game, that takes them 5 points clear of Manchester United. But Manchester United have the game in hand. It would be out of their... it would be out of their control if they draw this game, because Manchester United could finish on 69 points with the three games left, whereas Manchester City...
Yeah, but they will know. They will know the United result, though, by then, won't they? You know what I mean?
They will. Yeah, they will. If Manchester United get beaten by Norwich, that will completely change the complexion of this match. But recording this now on Friday, you've got to assume Manchester United win against Norwich. I am anyway, assuming they win against Norwich City. But I agree with Derek about that performance, that two-legged performance against Real Madrid. It was embarrassing. Manuel Pellegrini, how he can say they were lucky, unlucky in that game and Madrid were lucky is beyond me, because, I mean, Yaya Toure is a complete embarrassment, isn't he, really? And I think when Pep Guardiola comes in, he likes players that are technically gifted but work hard as well. Jesus Navas and Raheem Sterling, they must be worried for their future. There's not many players that have gone backwards as quickly as Sterling, Derek.
He's been awful, hasn't he? Absolutely awful. And he just looks bereft of confidence. And as for Navas, how long has he been there now? Four years or 3 years? Got one crossing in that time. Jesus.
They like him, though, don't they? Pellegrini likes him, plays him in these big games.
He's just got nothing. He gives the side nothing, Navas, seriously.
No, for them to play in... The biggest match in their one of their biggest matches in their history of the club. And for them to play as badly as that was appalling, really. For the fans as well.
The work rate from some of the midfield was just terrific. You touched on Yaya Toure there. I saw a great vine on Twitter of Yaya Toure just sort of plodding around the centre circle while the play's happening around him. These weren't the Guardiola players.
No, he's got no chance next season, has he? Just ambling about. But he's been fantastic for the club as well at times, Yaya Toure, and been a real stalwart. But his time's clearly coming to an end. Arsenal have got a good record against Manchester City. You look at recent performances, they're unbeaten in four against Manchester City since that loss back in December 2013, where they got hammered 6-3. Beat them earlier on this season at the Emirates, went to the Etihad last season and won. So I think Arsenal really fancy this against the Manchester City side that are clearly dejected at the moment. I'm not 100% sure which way the game's going to go, though, at these prices, because I thought Arsenal might be over 2-1 to win this game, and I would have backed them at over 2-1. But 19-10, maybe a little bit skinny. I think it'll be quite tight, though. I agree with Derek. I don't see many goals in the game. Under 2.5 goals is 23-20 odds against. I really like that. I'll play the under 2.5 here at 23-20. Man City do need to win, but whether they can become energised for this game is without doubt questionable at the very least. So I'll play under 2.5 at 23-20 here.
Okay, under 2.5 goals then for DK in the Manchester City Arsenal game. The other 4 o'clock game on Sunday, which is not televised, is Liverpool versus Watford. Liverpool in the betting here at 1-2, 3-1 the draw, and Watford are 6-1. Enhanced odds offers here: Daniel Sturridge to score in a Liverpool win is 11-10, and Odion Ighalo to score in a Watford win is 10-1. It was another superb European night for Liverpool on Thursday, Derek. A really good performance against Villarreal, and as we've seen throughout the season, though, they don't always tend to back it up in the Premier League. And we know Klopp's not afraid to throw the kids out in Premier League games that don't have a lot riding on them.
Well, exactly. It's exactly what we saw last week. And one of the chief reason I went for Swansea were being battered, hadn't they, in two previous games. They were playing a Liverpool team that were just disinterested. All that mattered to Liverpool was what happened on Thursday night. We all know what happened on Thursday night. The same applies here. Liverpool have got that Europa League final coming up very, very quickly, actually. May the 18th, not far away. So, you know, why try a leg in this? I just don't see it happening. Thing is, Watford have been playing like that for a long time now, not really trying a leg. Thing is, though, they're 6-1. Liverpool are 1-2. What I'll have to do here is go for Watford with a goal start. You've got to, there's value here in opposing Liverpool. When a team is 1-2 and you can see that they're not interested, you've got to oppose them some way. Watford plus a goal is 8-5. I'll be on that.
Yeah, I like that as well. As Derek said there, May the 18th is the Europa League final, so not too far away at all, DK. And we saw Klopp throw Daniel Sturridge and Coutinho into the mix, but there was a lot of young players around them last week against Swansea. Are you thinking similar here?
If it was anyone but Watford, I think I would.
Right.
Watford was so disappointed. I know they won last week, Derek, against Aston Villa. But Villa actually deserved to win that game for once. And Watford eventually, Troy Deeney got those two late goals and Watford won it 3-2. I'm not sure. I think Liverpool will win. I just think they'll want to keep this momentum tracking to that Europa League final. Wouldn't surprise me if Daniel Sturridge played again here. He clearly wants to get game time into Sturridge. And Sturridge's contribution on Thursday night was very good. I think his best contribution early on was missing that ball when for the own goal. But Liverpool will have revenge on their mind as well, because early on in the season, Watford beat them
at
Vicarage Road, murdered them precisely 3-0, and that was their biggest ever win over Liverpool. But Liverpool have only lost one of their last 11 Premier League matches at Anfield. They'll want to keep this going. They've won five and drawn five of those. And I think the biggest certainty of next season is this Watford side are going to get relegated.
You think?
Yeah, I think they're down next season, unless they invest really heavily in the summer and make some brilliant signings, because they've relied so much on Odion Ighalo and Troy Deeney to provide them with the goals. Ighalo's gone really, really quiet in the last 3 months, but Troy Deeney keeps on scoring, and he became only the second Watford player to score 10 plus Premier League goals in a season. He's got 11 now after his two last weekend. That's odd, with Odion Ighalo scoring 14 in this campaign. I think if Sturridge starts, I like the headline offer a lot. Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 11-10. Looks threatening every time he gets the ball. Got the goal against Villarreal in midweek, and had other chances to double his tally. So Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win 11-10, one of the enhanced odds offers, is something that I like here. Just can't trust Watford. I think they're a really poor side.
Okay. We'll move on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs now. Then we start at Villa Park with Aston Villa versus Newcastle. The home side here are 5-1, 13-5 the draw, and Newcastle are 8-13. The enhanced odds offers are Jordan Ayew to score in an Aston Villa win at 9-1, and Papi Cisse to score in a Newcastle win at 7-4. We saw some more encouraging signs from Villa last week. They led 2-1 in that game against Watford, but still somehow found a way to Aston Villa it up, Derek.
Yes, that should be the new verb of the English language. You all know what it means. This fixture, I mean, it does test your resolve as a punter, because you look at it, you know that Villa are useless. Newcastle have been putting a bit of a run together, and it all you think, well, it's Newcastle to win. And then you see they're 8-13. Oh, my God. Can you trust Newcastle at those kind of odds away from home? They won 2 games away from home all season, lost 14 of 18, and we're supposed to back him at 8-13. Oh, God. Do you do it? Do you do it? I mean, you know what? Okay, let's just say I think they're going to win. All right, and I might back them at 8-13. But when do you draw the line at that? When they go to 1-2, 2-5, 1-3? You know, there's got to come a line when you think, no, can't touch them. I don't think you can touch Newcastle here at those kind of odds. I mean, let's not forget too that Villa have got nothing at stake. And sometimes when a team's relegated, they can play with a little bit of freedom. The fans are, I suppose, now that the worst is confirmed, the fans might just be prepared to. No, they wouldn't. It's Villa fans. I was about to say they might be prepared to get behind them, but it's not likely to happen, is it? It boils down to this. I can't trust Newcastle at 8-13 to win a game away from home, even though they're away from home at Villa, who are useless. I'm going to go for Villa with a goal start here at around the 8-5 mark.
Okay, 8-5 then, Aston Villa plus a goal. Would be a massive 3 points for Newcastle here, DK. And on paper, Aston Villa are the team you want to be playing at the moment, but they're a mixed bag.
Yeah, I think the 5-1's a big price here. I understand what Derek's saying about Aston Villa, and they have been appalling, haven't they? They've lost their last 11 Premier League games now. Only one side in Premier League history has lost more in a row. That was Sunderland. I can't even remember this. Sunderland lost 20 games in a row in the Premier League.
Is that under Mick McCarthy?
Between January... I think that was in two spells.
Oh, okay.
One relegated and one promoted. But yeah, they were appalling at that spell in the Premier League. But Aston Villa have been really bad as well. I don't know if you've seen it, Derek, but obviously if you're a supporter of a Premier League club now and your team's not doing well, there's got to be a protest staged at some point. And Aston Villa fans are protesting this week. It's basically a protest in celebration of the club's supporters. Whoever concocts these ideas is clearly someone that's a bit mentally unbalanced. And they're set to release 74 beach balls and 2,500 balloons in the 74th minute of this Premier League clash, protesting against owner Randy Lerner and the way the club is being run at the moment. And it's 74th minute because the club was founded in 1874.
Right.
They're going to stage a walkout, etc., etc. And some fans are wishing the club was established in 1805, Derek. But yeah, it's farcical, really, the situation at Aston Villa now. But they're too big at 5-1. People are willing to back a Newcastle side at any price here. Back them down to 8-13. You look at their away record, Newcastle, it's pretty poor. And I mean, that draw in that last Premier League away game at Anfield ended a run of 9 consecutive away defeats for Newcastle United. They've only got 1 point away from home in 2016. And we're expecting punters to back them 8-13 to win this game against, albeit an abject, Villa. But if Villa had won that game, if they'd held on against Watford last week and won that game, would they be 5-1 to win this match? I'm not sure they would be. And it took 2 90th minute goals from Troy Deeney to deny them last week. I'll go with Villa here at 5-1 to spring a real shock and win this match.
Okay. Wow. Aston Villa then 5-1 for DK. We move on to another of the 3 o'clock games now. This is Bournemouth versus West Brom. Bournemouth here are 10-11. The draw is 11-5 and West Brom 100-30 in the betting. The enhanced odds for this one, Callum Wilson to score in a Bournemouth win is 5-2 and Solomon Rondon to score in a West Brom win is price of 6-1. This is 14th versus 15th. It's no win in 5 for West Brom, 1 win in 5 for Bournemouth. That came against Aston Villa. Doesn't look the most appealing of fixtures on paper, Derek.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's who wants it least, isn't it, this fixture? But the odds are skewed, aren't they? 100-30, West Brom to win at Bournemouth. You know, my motto in games like this, when there's nothing at stake at the end of the season, always side with the home team because at least they've got the fans to rouse them. But not when the home team's Bournemouth are odds on. I think that's a criminal price. I really do. And 10-3 West Brom, you know, under Pulis, they're just one of those horrible teams, aren't they? And he can just get a win when you least expect it and then throw in a howler of a performance the following week. You never know what to expect. But I don't mind that when I'm getting 10-3 for the team. It's when I'm backing them at like 6-5, 10-11, I don't want that. I want something I can trust. 10-3, honestly, I think if you ask 100 punters here, what's the value here? 99 of them would say West Brom. I'm in that 99. I'm going to go for West Brom here at 10-3.
That's a surprise that you're with the majority instead of the minority, Derek.
In fact, yeah, you're right. I'm going for Bournemouth.
I agree with Derek.
Yeah.
100-30 is a big price here on West Brom. I know that they have been pretty poor away from home. They've won just one of their last 13 Premier League games on the road. But Bournemouth have hardly been pulling any trees recently. And you know that match last week against Everton, Derek? They went off favourites in that match after the team news Bournemouth and still got beaten by Everton. We've talked about the failings of Everton this season. I think both teams will score in this game. I think that's a really good bet. And I like West Brom to win and both teams to score 11-2. But Bournemouth are just so open defensively that I think West Brom will be able to get at them here. Bournemouth have lost 5 in their last 6. That win in that run came at Villa Park, and they're odds on Bournemouth.
That's a shocker. That's one of the worst prices of the season, that it really is.
Yeah, it's just two teams that have just tailed off in terms of form, the back half of the season. And the only performance that West Brom have put in was to scupper Spurs' title bid when they drew 1-1 and irreparably damaged Spurs' title hopes, really. I'd chance West Brom here because of the price, basically 100-30. I do think both teams score 8-11, both teams to score in this game, which I think is a good bet. And if you're looking for something even more adventurous, West Brom to win and both teams to score 11-2 is something that I like here as well.
Okay, both guys then pro West Brom for that fixture. We move on to Crystal Palace versus Stoke now. Palace in the betting at 11-10. It's 9-4 the draw and Stoke are 13-5. The enhanced odds here are Connor Wickham to score in a Crystal Palace win at 11-4 and Marko Arnautovic to score in a Stoke win at 7-1 from 11-2. This again on paper is a dead rubber, but Palace have had a wretched 2016, and 11-10 looks eye-wateringly short for me, Derek.
Yeah, yeah, and let's not forget they've got the FA Cup coming up.
Yep.
You know, FA Cup final, rather. I couldn't back Palace at all. I wouldn't back them at home anyway at short prices. They're always an away side for me. And Stoke haven't been, you know, pulling up any trees at all. But yeah, I read a few interviews earlier this week. Some of the players wanting to, you know, it's easy. It's like players pay lip service to, you know, we want to finish the season on a high, and then the next minute you see them going out on the pitch with flip-flops. But I just sense a little bit of resolve about Stoke, which I don't see in Palace. And at 13 survive, I don't. It's not the bet that West Brom is. It's 10-3. It's not an unmissable bet in my eyes, but 13-5 Stoke, I would sooner be on that, you know, before Palace at 11-10 any day of the week.
Okay, we say every week, Dave, that you wouldn't expect a Mark Hughes side to be taken off.
Yeah, but they have.
Yeah, they have.
Till, and I can't quite explain it. It's not. It's definitely very unsparky, like, but. You know, I think Palace is so easy to beat right now in the league because they've got all their eyes and they have had all their eyes for a long time on the FA Cup final, and understandably so. I mean, yeah, what's in it for Palace in this game? Mm. Nothing.
I agree with Derek here. Stoke at too big a price, and you mentioned that about Mark Hughes and his teams. You don't expect them to just take time off at the back end of a season. There was a little bit more against Sunderland last weekend, and Jermaine Defoe, even though he got that late penalty to grab the draw there, Sunderland were scrapping for their lives in that game, and Stoke still matched them. Palace won't fancy this at all, and they've got injury problems as well, Crystal Palace. I'm not even sure what side they'll field here. Wilfried Zaha is out. He might miss the final game of the season against Southampton as well. They'll want to keep him fresh for the FA Cup final. Yannick Bolasie, who is talismanic for this Crystal Palace side, he's been ill. It's vital that they don't risk him with the FA Cup 2 weeks away, so he might not be risked. And Emile Jedinak has got a slight knock as well, and he captains this side. So if those three are out, Crystal Palace will be fielding an inexperienced side against Stoke, and Stoke can take advantage, in my opinion. They have been very poor away from home, Stoke City. You look at their last 9 Premier League games on the road, they're without a clean sheet. They've conceded 22 goals in that run as well. But Crystal Palace, they've won just once in their last 9 Premier League games at Selhurst Park, and they've scored just 6 goals in their last 10 Premier League matches at home. I reckon Stoke are a good bet here at 13-5. One goal scorer bet that I'd have a little look at here is Scott Dan to score for Crystal Palace. He's 15-2 to score any time, 20-1 to score first or last. He's got 5 goals this season, which is a league high among defenders in the competition. And he's got as many goals as any other Crystal Palace player. So 15-2. For Scott Dan to score is worth a look, but I'll go with Stoke to win this game at 13-5.
Okay, Stoke the pick then at 13-5. We go to Sunderland versus Chelsea now. Sunderland in the betting at 2-1. The draw is 11-5, and Chelsea are 11-8. The enhanced odds for this one: Jermaine Defoe to score in a Sunderland win is 7-2, and Diego Costa to score in a Chelsea win is 11-4. You got the feeling very much that Monday night was Chelsea's cup final.
Yeah.
And I do have to wonder how much they'll be fancying a trip to Sunderland, who are, of course, fighting for their lives. They dropped back into the relegation zone last week, Derek.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the answer to that question. They won't fancy it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was their cup final on Monday night. I mean, remember when Fergie described the efforts of West Ham in an end-of-season game when West Ham had nothing to play for and United were going for the league and finished 0-0? He described their efforts as obscene because, you know, they put everything in, and that's exactly what Chelsea did. And to be honest, I mean, on the one hand, you have to sort of take your hat off to Chelsea because, you know, you wouldn't have expected it from them. But on the other hand, the sight of them in a game that had nothing at stake for them, taking the ball to the corner flag in the last few minutes. I mean, you know, this is it didn't give them any dignity, did it, really? Let's face it. You know, a game where they weren't going for the title. And for a side that were winning Champions Leagues and league titles a couple of seasons ago, I thought that was poor from them. I think they've done it now. They've had enough for the season now, Chelsea. Sunderland, obviously, have got everything to play for. I think Sunderland are a decent bet here, to be honest. I'm going to go for them.
2-1 for Sunderland. Similar opinions, DK, or can Chelsea sort of grow from that draw against Spurs?
I think some of these Chelsea players, though, I kind of agree with Derek in terms of the and yourself in terms of that was a cup final for Chelsea against Tottenham on Monday night. But I think some of these Chelsea players either want moves in the summer or want to prove to Antonio Conte that they are deserving of the shirt. And Eden Hazard, where did that performance come from?
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
When he came on, he was absolutely sensational.
Nice of him to turn up this season, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and crowned that performance with a wonderful finish as well, Eden Hazard. I can't resist having a pop at him to score in this game at 13-5. It's a big old price. I think he is maybe putting himself in the shop window for a move in the summer, or, as mentioned, proving to Conte that he can still cut it. But against the Sunderland side, to get 13-5, I assume he's going to start in this game. I'd be amazed if he doesn't. And I know it's based on basically 20 minutes of play from Hazard, because that's the first time he's shown anything. But if he can replicate that, great bet, 13-5 to score. Got a really good record against Sunderland, Chelsea. They've won 19 and lost just two of their last 22 Premier League games against the Black Cats. Sunderland have failed to score in their last three Premier League games at home as well. They've been better on the road recently, Sunderland. I'm not sure they will win this game. Chelsea have been well backed. I'll take the 90-minute market out of it, because I'm not sure. I'll go with Eden Hazard to score at what looks a tasty 13-5 to me.
Okay, Hazard to get on the score sheet then for Dave at 13-5. The final game that we'll come to on this week's edition of the podcast is West Ham versus Swansea. West Ham here are 4-9. The draw is 100-30, and Swansea in the betting at 6-1. The enhanced odds for this one: Andy Carroll to score in a West Ham win is 7-4, and Andre Ayew to score in a Swansea win is 12-1. West Ham have been finishing the season fairly strongly. They're still in the hunt for the Europa League spots, and Swansea beat a much changed Liverpool side last week. So West Ham, I guess, look deserving favourites on paper, Derek. But again, it's quite a short price for all that they look the most likely winners.
Yeah, it is a little bit shorter than I was hoping for, but they do look all over the winners in this game. What worries me slightly, they've only lost two at home this season, West Ham, so I don't see Swansea disinterested going there and winning. But what worries me slightly is that they played 17 games at home and only won 8 of them, you know, which isn't great for the side in sixth place, look with an outside chance of a top four slot. What I'm saying is, you know, they're not a side to implicitly trust at these odds. But what's in it for Swansea? They did their bit last week, beating Liverpool in front of their home fans. They could afford to take the foot off the gas. They had done in the weeks previous to that. And are West Ham still, do you think, thinking of a top four spot? 5 points behind Man City with a game in hand?
I think they could be, because if Manchester City do slip up against Arsenal, Manchester United are by no means guaranteed to win out. And I think this West Ham side could conceivably win out. Obviously, the big game will come on Tuesday night against Manchester United, but they travel to Stoke in the last game of the season. I reckon Slaven Bilic, even though it's a slim chance, he'll be still thinking that his side can get a top four place. And they are a good side, West Ham. And Swansea, albeit that win against Liverpool at home, I don't think they'll perform like that against West Ham at Upton Park. But it comes back to price, doesn't it, Derek? And 4-9, it's just instinctively you think West Ham 4-9 at home against Swansea, is it a little bit too short?
Well, yeah, the alternative, I mean, West Ham to win 2-0, 11-8, I mean, I can see that happening. I would sooner, and then if that loses, you don't feel quite so bad with life, do you? Back in a 4-9 loser, anything, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, West Ham minus 1 at 11-10 looks good as well. An angle in here could be the goal scorer betting. Andy Carroll does look short at even money to score any time, but Swansea have conceded more goals from corner situations than anyone else this season. 14 they've conceded from corners, which is an amazing stat, really. And West Ham have some real height in this team. And I know Andy Carroll at even money wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea, but Cech Kiarty at 7-2 to score any time here. He scored a header last week against West Brom. Really powerful player going forward, and gets himself into position at corners. I think 7-2 Cech Kiarty to score is a really good price here. And no Premier League side is on a longer unbeaten run than Slaven Bilic's team either. They've gone 10 games without losing, won 5 and drawn 5 in that spell. And only one team has stopped West Ham scoring at Upton Park in their last 21 Premier League home matches as well. So I think West Ham, who have already achieved their highest points tally in a Premier League season, getting 59 this on the board already, I reckon West Ham will win this comprehensively. West Ham minus 1 is 11-10, which I think is good. But have a look at Cechiarte to score at 7-2. And for the less intrepid, Andy Carroll to score here, even money, looks good to me as well.
Okay, I like that. Cechiarte goal in the game then is the price of 7-2. And if you did want to play West Ham win and Cechiarte to score, that is 3-1. So you could have a look at that as well. Now for the part of the podcast me and Dave have been dreading. But the part of the podcast Derek's probably been licking his lips about. Naps for this week. Derek, show me and Dave how it's done.
Well, hang on, shouldn't be a drum roll or something when I deliver my nap. Come on.
It has been unbelievable this season. It's been such a rout. Punters following your naps, Derek, will have been able to retire to the Bahamas by now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go for it. There's a few I like this weekend. I think there's some big price. This is the best weekend for betting in my eyes for a long while.
Who do you like then, Derek? Go, well, I like a few that you like.
I like West Brom at 10-3 to win at Bournemouth. Stoke, less so, at 13-5 to win at Palace, but I still think they're overpriced. And I can't take my eyes off Everton at Leicester. I can't see Leicester being in any condition to play a game like this. Now, I just, human nature tells me that they can't be ready for this game. So I'm going to go for Everton at 10-3.
Okay, Everton, the pick for Derek. Dave?
I'm going to go with Stoke at 13-5 to beat Crystal Palace. Palace looking forward to that FA Cup final with injury problems as well, which I think is key. Stoke showed more against Sunderland last week. I think 13-5 Stoke City is my bet.
Okay, Stoke go in then at 13-5. I'll go for one of the unappealing games on paper. This is Bournemouth versus West Brom. I take the point from both of you. West Brom do look overpriced here, but I'm going to go for the under 2.5 goals at 10-11. This has all the hallmarks for me of a Tony Pulis nullifying West Brom performance, and they nick it 1-0. So under 2.5 goals for me, Bournemouth, West Brom. Add that with Stoke at 13-5 and Everton at 100-30. The treble there pays 28-1.
Very good.
Thank you very much for your company, both of you, this week. And best of luck to anybody having a bet on the Premier League. You've been listening to the Punt Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.